This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malo Lali and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and next to me is my good friend, my Cook Island Cowie, Tinira Arona. Happy Friday, T.
Happy Friday, mate. Kia ora to all our listeners across the Pacific. We have another big show for you today. Today we have our good friends Sala Tongatuki and Totai Kefu covering all things rugby league and rugby union. It's always great each Friday to hear of their expertise in their spaces. And yeah, we'll be reviewing both NRL and Super Rugby. NRL Round 5 was kicked off last night. We've seen a huge game. Canberra Raiders versus the Sharks. I'll speak about that shortly. It is also multicultural round in the NRL. It's really cool to see on socials the, you know, all the clubs embracing all cultures within our game. And you know, we've seen events held where they've had Pacific dances and, you know, Lebanese food and you know, all the boys and women wearing, you know, their traditional outfits. It's really special to see, and I'm looking forward to embracing some more of that this weekend in NRL Round 5.
Yeah, we also have Super Rugby Women's Semis as well, so that's going to be a big clash. Both will be played out on Sunday, and of course, we've got both our Pacifica teams, Moana and the Drua, back playing this weekend in Super Rugby Pacific.
Well, let's kick it off with our footy news.
Hey guys, it's Josh Tapali here, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Before I review the Raiders and Sharks game, probably the biggest news this week come from one of our Samoan stars in Payne Huss and him considering playing for the Tour Samoa this year so he can play for Samoa in the World Cup next year. So to give a bit of background and a reminder that the teams, the nations that the players play for at the end of this year is the nation that they have to play for next year in the World Cup. So Payne Huss, if he's to play for Australia this year, he has to play Australia World Cup next year. Now, the only way that he can play for Tour Samoa in the World Cup is if he plays for Samoa this year. And he did mention that he is considering it, but he's not going to make his decision until after the State of Origin series. So what are your thoughts on this, Sammy?
Oh, absolutely love it. Now, do you know who else is probably loving it? It's probably Daily Cherry Evans, because all the news has been dominated by him. And now this has come on. It's moved that to the side. And now big Payne Huss and potentially Tino as well, Fa'asu Maliawi as well, could be following as well. There's probably more in the background, but I think when we had him on the show and I think it was you asked him, you know, who would you love to play with? And he said Stephen Crichton.
Yeah.
He wanted to play with him. So that's something that's probably been deep inside, ticking in his head this whole time. And especially with Stephen, the personality that he is and what he's done at the Dogs, they're just thinking, man, surely, bro, you are the missing piece to this puzzle to go one step further than the other World Cup. And I love it. I love it. But what are the actual eligibility rules with Origin and stuff like that? Because there's a little bit of a little bit of a debate, you know, from all sides on what should happen.
Yeah, so it's Tier 1, Tier 2 nations. So if you play for a Tier 1 nation other than Australia, you know, you're not eligible to play for State of Origin. So Tier 1 meaning, you know, New Zealand, England. Now, Samoa and Tonga.
And Australia, yep.
And Australia. Samoa and Tonga, Cook Islands, there are Tier 2 nations, same as PNG. It's not about the success of those nations have in the international game. There's a criteria to be met, and you know, some of those requirements are, you know, the pathways within the nation or in-nation competitions to qualify as a Tier 1 nation. So those teams that play, those players that play for those Tier 2 nations are still eligible to play State of Origin. When I heard about that news this week, I automatically went back to Samoa's campaign in the last World Cup. Now, seeing that campaign that they had and the boys, the passion they had for that jersey, that brotherhood that they created, all the stuff on social media, how they were just, you know, playing. They lost that first game to England, but then since then just started to build all the way up to a World Cup grand final against Australia. And then, you know, even seeing the passion and the Sipitau, you just would have had those thoughts. If you were also a Samoan player playing for another nation, going, man, I wonder what it would be like to be a part of something special like that. And that's probably those thoughts that have been in these boys' minds. But also during State of Origin, you know, they get to go and play with Stephen Crichton and Jerome Luai, you know, those players that played in those campaigns, and they're probably getting that same energy in the Blues camp or in the Queensland camp, and, you know, probably going, man, this would be cool to, you know, represent our family, our heritage, our background on the international scene. Before I get to other news, let's review this Sharks versus Raiders game played in Canberra last night, and geez, what a game in the first half. A very, very even first half where it pretty much went try for try. Canberra scores the first try. Sharks score the second. They both score three tries apiece in that first half. One person I know who would be happy would be our friend Tupo Supuanga, because he is the player agent of the Sharks try scorers.
One of the good ones out there. One of the good ones as well.
In Marwini, Hirotsi, and Britton Nikura. And yeah, going into halftime, 18 all. The second half was just going set for set for set. And I was just waiting for this game to, like, something, a moment to happen. You just got the sense that one team was going to break or one player was going to come up with a special play. Now, one huge moment, halfway through the second half, the Raiders back rower got sent for 10, Hudson Young, in the bin for a high shot. Last week, or during this week, the refs warned, the NRL warned all clubs saying any contact to the head with intention, you would now be sent to the bin for 10 minutes. Now, that happened with Hudson Young. So the Sharks, not long after, they kicked a penalty goal. They go in the lead by 2 with 20 minutes to go, and they don't score any more points. So they're up by one player. They're up. They've got the extra player, but they just can't seem to break the Raiders' defense. And yeah, Raiders had every right to lose this game. You know, the penalty count, 7-2. They were on the back foot. They had to play 5 days ago in Townsville, lost to the Cowboys, the travel fatigue. They played 10 minutes with 12 men, but you could see the fight and the determination from each Raiders player on that field to try and just find a way to get this job done. Now, so they're down by 2 up until the last few minutes. Now, I just thought, okay, game's in the bag. Sharks play it safe. They run it to the corner in the last set, and then the Raiders have their opportunity. Now, they just try everything to get to the other end of the field. They get in striking distance, about 30, 40 meters away from the try line. Last play, they don't kick. And I would love to paint the picture for you, but I've listened to the commentary, and Andrew Moore, he does a great job, so I'm going to leave it to him.
Comes left to Fogarty, dummied the kick. They run it to the left, Hudson Young. He splits them. He's over the 30-metre line to the ground, gets up to go again. He's got to pass it to somebody. Does so to Strange in heavy traffic. Back to Paddy. They've lost 10 metres. Away to Savage, centre of the field. He puts it on the toe. Timicor coming through. Bounces over his head for Weeks. Flick pass. Play on for Sasungi. Sasungi, a one-hander. Back to Sebastian Friss. Oh, my goodness, that could be the try of the year.
If you watch that last play, when the ball, so they shift the ball to the left side and Hudson Young takes a carry, he offloads. This is last play, so the boys just need to make one tackle. All the Sharks defenders, they started going to that to their right side, to the Raiders' left, to try and cover any type of play and just make the tackle. Now, as soon as they offload and they pass it back to come down the other side, I looked out, you look up and you see Adam Fanua Blake, you see Oregon Kofusi, you see those middles that have worked hard to cover from the inside, but as soon as the ball goes the other way, they're just on their knees, they're gassed. And then as the Raiders start moving the ball the other side, the one picture that you realize how much fight and determination is in this Raiders team is when he actually scores the try. So when Sebastian Chris scores the try, you see how many Raiders are in that frame.
Yep.
Now, there's 5 Raiders in that frame to one Sharks defender when he scores a try. Some of those players, Joseph Taipine, Josh Papali'i.
The big boys.
The big boys. The big boys. That have just supported, kept their legs ticking. Now, the special part about this play as well is Sebastian Chris, he's the left center. He scored the try on the right side. So the ball's actually come to his side. He doesn't get the ball. It starts shifting, going back to the right side, and he just ticks his legs over.
So, yeah, you're seeing players work off the ball hard, working right off the ball.
And he's just found himself in the spot to win the game after a slog out against the Sharks. So a huge win for the Raiders. I think it just, yeah, shows their determination. Win or lose, even if they lost that, Ricky Stewart said after the game, he was still going to praise his players for the effort. With the Sharks, yes, they've lost two in a row now, Bulldogs and Raiders, but again, the fight and effort to play those types of games, but just the execution, couldn't find ways to score points. You know, listening to Craig Fitzgibbon after the game, he mentions they haven't been able to get much training done because there's a lot of players playing busted. So a lot of it comes down to preparation and just building them team chemistry with the Raiders. So very early in the season, but man, what a game to kick off round five in the NRL. And remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. In other news, Justin Olam, the PNG centre for the West Tigers, he has announced his retirement through injury. We wish him all the best. And you know, with his transition, I know he's a very smart man as well. I think he's a engineer.
Engineer.
So wish you all the best, Justin Olam. And I know you'll do
mad
some great things
to
for your nation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Couple injury updates. Kale Edo, he missed last night due to a hamstring injury. So apparently he'll be out for a few weeks because the location of the hamstring's just in a tricky area. So the Maweni
in the bicep area of the they're the three muscles in the hamstring.
Bicep, tricep, something. Left, right.
Left, right, hamstring.
But he'll be out for a few weeks. And Albert Hopoati, some sad news, ACL rupture. He'll miss this season, the rest of the season, 2025. So wish speedy recovery, yep. And a lot of love from Nijin Footy. PNG Hunters, they play Tweed Heads this weekend on Saturday on the Gold Coast, and the Cavite Silktails coming off two wins in a row. They will host the Warriors in Lautoka to make it three in a row.
Can they go three from three in the Sugar City? If they're going to do it, they can do it in the Sugar City. It is the draw, seven in a row there? So I reckon the Cavite Silktails will get the job done against the Warriors. But T, fantastic. Is that all we have for league?
That is all we have for league for now, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more on Monday.
Yep, beautiful work. Absolutely love your work. So let's get over to Rugby Union. I've had my ears on the ground. I've been trying to hunt down who the Manu Samoa coaches will be going into the Pacific Nations and obviously heading into the World Cup in 2027. And I'm hearing whispers that former Samoan fly half, Tusi Pisi, could be in there, could be in amongst the coaching ranks, and massive winger Alisana Tuilangi could also be there as part of the coaching staff. So hopefully that comes off, because they are such well-respected members, not only in rugby union, but also in that Samoan jersey. They've done that job. They've done the job so many times for Samoa as players, and I feel like it'd be fitting for them to step in the coaching ranks and hopefully take Samoa to some new heights, and they'll be able to attract some world-class players if that happens. So hopefully that happens for Manu Samoa. And Jordi Pataia, he went over on that IPP, the NFL International Player Pathway Program. He's picked up a contract with the LA Chargers.
Damn.
So he's signed with an NFL team. So he impressed at his combine, his IPP combine, and now he's off to LA to the Chargers.
Jordan played for the Wallabies.
Wallabies, former Wallaby, and Queensland Reds.
Samoan background.
So he was there with guys like Lucky Tussi from Melbourne and a Fijian guy, Wakeham. It was a Janira Wakeham, big rugby union player. So they were all at that IPP, and huge news. That's massive. LA Chargers, and T, I think we're going to be able to get him on next week or the week after.
Beautiful.
You're going to hold me to that, or I'm about 80% sure we've got him. So he's back in Australia.
20% gets
We'll see how we go.
Show me, don't tell me, brother.
That's right. Exactly right. you're not wrong. And a massive blow to the Blues as well. Big prop, Tongan prop, Ofa Duangafasi. He's been ruled out for the remainder of the season with a neck injury. So hopefully that's not too bad and he's going to make a full recovery. But anything around the neck, you just...
it's scary.
It's those scary, ones. Those ones. So speedy recovery to him. And we talked about the Super Women's Rugby. Their semi-finals kicks off this weekend. Waratahs take on the Force in Sydney. You know, last time these two teams met, it was a close one. The Waratahs end up winning sort of just towards the end there. They won 26-21. The Force haven't come off a good performance against the Reds last week, and they were disappointing. I feel like it's probably been a disappointing campaign considering the amount of players that they've recruited, but they're still in with a chance with this weekend with their semi-finals and potentially could get to their very first grand final. The Reds and the Drua, this one will be fireworks this game. Last time they met in Fiji, the Reds won 22-19, and for the Drua, they've got a strong team out. I feel like their scrum, it's worked well this week, but the Reds, they're going to have to find a way to just make sure that Shalom Sawaso gets the ball and Eva Kapani in the front row. They continue to get the ball. They have a good game. They're probably going to go on and win this one and hopefully get their first ever grand final win. So that's big news for them, and probably the game of the round in Super Rugby, I think, well, two games, top of the table clash, Reds and Chiefs, and I really think the Moana game, I reckon there'll be an upset here, but I can't tip them, T. I tipped them round one.
I don't know if you're talking me into trying to pick them and you're actually going for the other team.
No, I genuinely believe, because, again, do you know where I get my information
Moana
from?
Beat the Tars. In New Zealand.
Yep. Then do you know where I'm getting my information from?
I don't
from?
Like going against the Tars because it's sore litty.
That's all right. That's okay. I'm just trying to paint the picture for you on social media. This is where I'm getting my information from, where what I'm getting my gut feeling.
Show me. Tell me.
So when I looked at the training sessions for the Waratahs, it looked like, you know, dim and just like a funeral. You know, they just looked like they were just getting bashed and it was just hard work, and the faces and the body language of the players are like, oh, this is going to be a tough session. But for Moana, do you see them run out of there onto their training field singing songs?
I seen that a couple of weeks ago and they went and got flogged by
that's okay.
The other
their
team.
Consistency is key. They stayed with it. They stayed with it against the Crusaders and they're staying with it against the Waratahs. So that's why I feel like they're going to go back to back.
They've done the same thing a couple of weeks ago, mate. The thing that I'm worried about with the Moana is how do they back up that performance? You know, they're coming off a big high. You know, have they got the experience to just back it up another week and just continually do that week in, week out, where you are now, you know, a winner's team? You know, just that inconsistency throughout the year, that's the only worrying signs when you come against a team like Waratahs that can, when they're on, they can be one of the best in the comp, but...
It's a great point, because when you're down in that losing sort of part of the or when you're losing in the competition, you ride the wins and the losses, so you're emotional.
Yeah.
And so when you win, you have that massive feeling, yeah, we're world beaters, we won the grand final, but you've got to rein it back in. Whereas the big side, whether they win or lose, nothing changes. They just
business
on the
stays.
Next business stays the same. Yeah. So hopefully they can back that up this week, and I'm excited for that game. And in Singapore this weekend, the Sevens, the women, the Fiji are in a group alongside France and Ireland, and they are seventh on the ladder and need to stay in the top eight to avoid the Challenger Series. And in the men, Fiji are going against New Zealand and USA, and they sit second on the ladder, their best sevens in a while. So hopefully they can get another tournament victory over there in Singapore. But that's us
that's
for Rugby
us.
Union. Yep.
Well, let's get straight to Sala Tongatuki and try and get her out of the gym at the moment, because I think she's doing
some
weights.
She can lift some big weights.
She can lift some weights.
She can lift some tin.
She needs to get on knees and footy Fridays right now.
Don't be late.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
It's time to hear from our New South Wales Origin and NRLW superstar, Sala Tongatuki. Sala, thank you for joining us here on Knees and Footy Fridays again, as you do each week. Straight away, what was your highlight from this week?
Ooh. That Pacific Sports Show guest.
Wait, no. Honestly, that's at the top for me. It was definitely on Monday. I was fortunate enough to be asked to come in the studio and, yeah, go on as a guest for the Pacific show. So, and yeah, I got to see their new setting, which was amazing. I know they're frothing on it. They get to be in it every Monday. Is it Friday, Sam?
Yes, no, you absolutely killed it on Monday. Make sure you go watch that episode. She was on fire, Sulla. Her breakdancing got a start as well again, so it's gone viral again on ABC Pacific. But, yeah, you did an outstanding job.
I did hear some good reports, Sulla, that you did really well. And, you know, all the practice and experience you've had here on Nijin Footy is
100%.
You know, playing a role on that Pacific Sports Show. So great work.
Sorry, before we move on, I really enjoyed meeting the Pacific journalists. As apparently, they often come in and sort of like an experience thing for them and learn off the back of the show. So that's so good for our people. The show's definitely giving back behind the scenes. So that was a cool I thought I'd give a cool shout out to that.
Yeah, oh, yes, all the ladies from across the Pacific.
Across the Pacific, yeah. So I think
each needs from a Pacific country, which was so nice. And they have so much pride. Like, they dressed in their own their culture there, you know, awfuls and us. So that was so nice to see.
Great work, Sulla. Let's rip straight into round 5 of the NRL. We've already spoke about last night's close game between the Raiders and the Sharks, but what other games are you looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Manly and Storms game. I know Manly is going to need to step up without Tom Dravojevic, and you've got our young Tongan superstar, Lehi Hopuata, who's taking on a big role, but I feel like it's not too big for him, the shoes, because he's played in it in the back end of last year for Manly, and he killed it, in my opinion. And you've got the fold pack who will be led by Nathan Brown and Siosua Taukeaho. So I know those boys will set the tone and hopefully gain momentum early in the game. And then you've got your Daly Sherry Evans and Luke Brooks, who will also be key for the team in steering them. Hopefully you're taking advantage in Melbourne's defence or cracking it. But then I feel like Storm's got that really good stability, which will hopefully give them the edge. You've got Ryan Pappenhausen still at the back there doing what he does best, threat and attack fullback, which is really important. And then you've got another Polynesian who's going to step up in the middles, which is Stefano Ituikamanu. He'll be alongside Josh King. So I feel like those boys can probably control the ruck and hopefully give their halves space to create and, you know, all that flair stuff. And then, yeah, I feel like they'll probably look at probably going at Lehi in that fullback role. I don't know, that will be a key opportunity for them to score. But for me, in player matchups, you've got Eliasa Katoa and Haumole Olopuatu. I love talking about these two. I feel like they'll be in a physical battle all night. Both explosive runners, so dangerous on edges, and they're just really good in defence as well. So I know Katoa will probably test Manly with his footwork, and he's got a great offload on him as well. But then you've got Mole, who's really good at breaking a line off the back of Daly Cherry Evans. So I guess their ability to shut each other down will be a battle to watch tonight. So, yeah, and you've got Will Warbrick as well in the back, so I can't leave them out. He'll go up against young Clayton Folalo. For me, I feel like this battle will be in the air more, in defence, and with the way they finish. So I know Warbrick's size and experience will probably test young Folalo, while he'll probably use his speed and footwork around. Hopefully that will bring him out into the light. But yeah, this one's going to be an exciting game to watch. Whoever wins that edge battle could probably swing the game's momentum. And then, yeah, you've got, you know, the middles I've already mentioned, Siosua and Stefano. But then you've also got really, really good players who also come off the bench there. Another Pacific bunch, which is Tuafofua and Tui
Kamakamitha.
Kamakamitha and Lazarus Vatlepu. So, yeah, there's a whole heap of our people playing that game tonight. So it'll be really exciting to watch.
Who are you tipping?
I'm definitely going to go.
Remember,
this game's Manly.
Yeah, I was going to say Manly playing at Manly. You know, they've been on fire. There is no Tom Trbojevic, but I think Lehi playing at fullback, he's done it before in front of a home crowd. It's going to be a huge one.
Storm off the back of a loss, you're still choosing Manly?
Penrith have lost 3 in a row, of course.
Very true, but
that doesn't mean nothing. So we're going with Manly. Sulla's going with Manly for this one. And in another game, what other game are you looking forward to?
Oh, I'm really excited for the Souths and Roosters. This one's always a battle in the East
for me. The local derby. This is
the big
one.
Local derby, that's it. for me, I feel like both teams will be really hungry this game. And I know they've got some key adjustments as well, which is probably going to be really good for both sides. You've got Latrell, who does return from injury, and it's exciting to see him move into centre rather than fullback. And so Jai Gray will stay there that I've seen. And probably really important for them in the middles is, you know, Junior Totola and Keon Kalamatangi. Junior Totola, obviously, he came back and was on the bench, and he's earned his right, like, definitely to be starting. He really sets the tone for the team, gets them going forward, and I feel like that'll give playmakers Cody Walker and Jamie, I think, the platform that they need to attack. So defensively, I feel like it'll just, I think they'll be really good with Latrell Mitchell being back in the centre, which is a new role in a while. I'm in the South jersey, so yeah, that's on South. And then I reckon for Roosters, it was Billy Smith who also returns in the lineup. So I think Mark is not playing. Mark Nawangani-Tawase, sorry.
Yeah, Mark Nawangani-Tawase is out.
Is he out?
Yeah, he's out this weekend.
But yeah, look, nonetheless, they've got their middle pack. Like, you know, Lindsay Collins come off, changes from the bench and starts, and then Spencer goes into their bench. So Noel Fahu-Wyatt, like, he's been so good for them and has, like, kept that starting jersey, which very well deserved. So I think they will look to control the ruck, and hopefully their halves can find some space and break through South's defence, because I feel like South has been good in some parts of their defence in their last couple of games, so see how they go with that. And I feel like for me in the matchups will be Junior Totola and Noel Fahu-Wyatt. I just, yeah, both powerhouses, physical, both have offloading game and ability to break tackles, but I feel like with me, Noel Fahu-Wyatt, like his strong defensive presence is key for Roosters, and his just ability to just make yards. Like, his running game is hard to stop. I think there was a moment in last week's game where he was three tackle breaks or four, I think. And I know that battle in the middle is going to be really important. Whoever dominates between either teams can probably create that really important momentum. So
yeah, Noel Fahu had to, you know, some big shoes to fill with Jared Wader Hargraves heading over to the UK. I'm also liking this bench. You know, when you see Spencer Lenu and Salisu Fokiti.
I was about to ask, is Fokiti there?
Fokiti's there. Yeah. He's coming off the bench. So, you know, it'll be a 1-2 punch off the back fence with those two boys. And then you got David Moali on coming off the bench with Saliva Habili for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Huge matchup. I think the big one with me on this game is Latrell Mitchell starting at centre. After a while out of the game through injury. Jai Gray's done a great job at fullback, so him being able to play himself back into some form, you know, get some early touches of that ball, I think he's going to cause some damage for his ex-club, the Sydney Roosters. Also want to give a big shout-out to the Indigenous All-Star and New South Wales Blues player Connor Watson, who will be playing his 150th NRL game tonight. So,
how good,
much love to Connor. He's been a great servant for the Roosters. You can tell that me and Sutter are ex-Roosters. So.
Yeah, we're talking too much about Roosters here. Just touching on Latrell, you're so right there, T. Like, you know, the feeling of when you haven't been playing, your feet would be itching to just get out there, and he's been really patient in getting himself right to return, and I think he'll be a big boost for his team, hopefully. Just having that presence of his, a player of his caliber, you'd definitely want them around you, and we've spoken about this last season on Asian Footy, where you want to be that teammate that your presence definitely uplifts them, gives them a confidence to sort of go into this game with confidence in hope that they start right and finish strong. So he's definitely a key player to watch.
Here's my tip for the game as well. Daniel Tupou jumps over.
Do you reckon they'll Pepe Ravalawa?
Pepe Ravalawa, Daniel Tupou over the top for a try. There you go. That's my
little
insight.
That will take him into where on the ladder? We'll get the stats up.
Top six he's on, so he'll be fifth, outright fifth maybe. Or outright six. Yeah, he's equal six. So
it's hard to believe Parramatta didn't want him as a junior.
Yeah. He's a Roosters legend now.
That's who are you? Crazy, hey.
Who are you tipping, Sulla?
Oh, I'm going to Chookies, 100%.
Okay.
Sorry, I know that South's but Chookies have done it before as well. And they've also got some key players. And you've got Connor Watson's 150 game that you just mentioned. If I was in that team, I definitely want to go get the win for him. Like,
yeah,
celebrate his milestone with in the higher ways possible. So, yeah.
On paper, who looks better? Just on paper.
I think it's pretty
Is it even?
Okay. I'd say it's even, to be honest. Like, well, it's interesting you've got Nat Butcher who's gone into the lock role. Who's obviously been playing second row. But, yeah. I don't know. Like, even, like, I don't know this. I don't know Lachlan Mahabna as well. You guys probably know. But, yeah, on paper.
I'll say it's even.
Okay.
It's even.
A few big injuries either side.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, it should be a huge matchup. It's always a
And sometimes you got to weigh the pros and cons with, like, experience in there as well. So
yeah, it's always a special game with the Roosters and Rabbitohs as well. That local derby, everyone steps up for it. So looking forward to that one. Sulla, as always, it's been a pleasure having you here on Nijin Footy. We will not keep you any longer because I bet you're steaming to get back in that gym, lift some weights.
A couple more reps to go.
And make sure you post it. Keep posting them on socials.
That's the way to finish.
Keep posting them on socials because you're inspiring people like Sammy to get in the gym.
I'm in the gym. I've actually done a couple of classes. So
all good, Sulla. Well, we'll let you back at it. Thank you again. We appreciate your expertise. And we'll see you next week on Nijin Footy Fridays.
Later, Sulla.
See you guys.
The Nijin Footy All-Stars.
Well, here we go, T. Our Nijin Footy All-Stars teams, our squads. We choose them each week. We pick from league or rugby union and we'll add them to our squad. And they will go into our starting team by the end of 2025 in an all-star lineup. And it's getting harder and harder to choose every week.
Oh, not for me.
Not for you?
We've got a lot of Nijin players that kill it every single weekend in the NRL. So
I'm getting double ups here, like the consistent, like Artie's been killing it, but I've already got him in. So
I've got a wide range of to pick from. You know, there's, I think someone mentioned that it was 52% of the NRL.
Well, that's what I heard as well, yep.
Of Pacific heritage. So when you think of the 17 teams, 50.
Don't ask me to do math, man.
Over 50%.
I just know it's over half.
I just mean I've got a lot to pick from. And
yes,
with our All-Stars picks, you know, they have to have starred in the last weekend. And at the end of the year, we'll pick our All-Stars 13.
You want to go first?
Similar to Daly M and the Daly M team RLPA All-Stars team.
I feel like this has more prestige than the Daly M, our one.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. Well, I'll go first with my two picks now. This one would be my first Palauan.
Palauan, yes. Palauan, I know where you're going with this.
Palauan NRL player. He's also Torres Strait Islander and Japanese. With a Japanese last name, he plays for the Brisbane Broncos and he's had quite a start to the season. Scored 2 tries last week, 188 metres, and his name is Gihamat Shibasaki.
That's a great pick. I love that. That's got to. He has to be the first Palauan, surely.
The first. Oh, like him and his brother.
Oh, him and his brother. Okay. His brother. Yeah.
But
wow. No, I love that pick.
Just the way that he's, you know, got the opportunity at Brisbane Broncos and taking it with 2 hands, and he's scoring tries weekly. Really stepping up for the Broncos. One of their highest meter makers last weekend. So that's why he'll be joining my squad of Nijin Footy All-Stars. And my other player comes from the biggest, I won't even say one of the, I'll just say the biggest rugby league families in the Pacific. Can you guess who?
Is he Tongan?
He is Tongan.
Okay, I know where you're going with this.
Yes, one of the Hopuates. And I went with Lehi Hopuate from the Manly Sea Eagles. Last week he was unreal playing the Parramatta Eels. 21 carries for 213 metres. And 1 try and also had a try assist. This weekend he's playing fullback against the Melbourne Storm with the injury of Tom Trbojevic. But Lehi, it'd be silly if I didn't pick him in my squad.
It still blows my mind that he's built like a broomstick and can just get through contact like that and just take some hits and just be everywhere. So durable. I can't wrap my head around it.
Well, I've got one of my sons that play outside backs, similar build. I feel like he'll have a similar build, so I think I'm going to be like, hey, watch Lehi. Just the way that he gets into contact, finds his front, or just takes him, carries him, falls to the ground. If you are a lighter outside back and you want to learn how to take those tough carries but also make big, good meters, watch Lihai Hopuate.
Not only here for All-Stars choosing, great tips as well. Make sure you're writing this down, kids. That is absolute gold there. But for rugby union, I needed a halfback. So I've actually, when I was looking at my squad, and this guy's been consistent the whole year, Minor Pacifica number 9, Jonathan Tomatene. He has been electric. I feel like some of his variations where he gets out and scoots out, draws in a couple of defenders, and he's got a little flick ball on the inside. I feel like he's getting his forwards on the front foot because he's got a nice 10-metre pass at speed. So I feel like he is coming into my All-Stars team and he's looking like he could be the starter, and he's part of the reason why Minor Pacifica are doing really well. And I've gone to the Hurricanes for my forward, Isaiah Walker-Liowere. He's a lock from the Hurricanes, Fijian background. I thought his efforts against the Waratahs, he was physical, he did the one percenters, and that's why he's coming into my All-Stars team. T, it's building nicely. It's going to be very hard to choose selection for our starting side.
Beautiful, mate. Well, let's get to more rugby union with Totai Kefu.
The rugby union preview.
Kefu! Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, each week we're joined by a giant of Australian and Pacifica rugby. He represented the Wallabies 60 times and coached the Ikaletahi for 7 years. He's now back in Japan coaching the King of Roppongi. He joins us right now, live from Japan. King Kefu, Totai Kefu, welcome back, mate. How are you?
Good morning, boys. I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to the end of winter. It's been cold for a very long time here. You can always tell it's coming to the end of winter when the sakura. The cherry blossoms are out.
Oh, nice. So, just on that, sakura, yep, cherry blossoms. Nihongo, do desu ka?
Mama
desu. Yes. How's his Japanese? He said it's going all right. So that's how it is. And Kintetsu, how are they flying at the moment?
Yeah, we're going really well. We've won the last three in a row. We've had a week off this week, so good time to reset and refresh. A bit like our Fijian Drua brothers, we'll come back and hopefully, win the remaining four games.
Yeah, nice. Wish you all the best, mate.
I have got something for us this week, and it's the Samoan coaching gigs. Actually, I'm hearing Tusi Pisi and big fella, the winger. I've just had a mind blank.
Oh,
Tuilagi. I can't believe I've got his name. Yeah, they could be part of the coaching staff. You're hearing the same whispers or not really?
No, that's the first time I heard that. I know Tusi's been coaching the last couple of years. He's here in Japan. I think he's coaching, I'm not too sure where, maybe Mitsubishi. I'm not too sure, okay. But he's here coaching, yeah.
Yeah, so I heard that one through the grapevine. But, well, hopefully that unfolds for them pretty soon because I'll need a head coach very soon coming into the Pacific Nations Cup. But let's get to Super Rugby. Moana, what a performance against the Crusaders. You called it last week in a way if they were going to beat them, you had to go through the Crusaders. Your contact areas needed to be spot on, and they did that.
They certainly did do that. Wow, what a first half. They come out firing. First, I think they scored within the first 5 minutes. They ended up scoring 4-1 in the first half, which is, mate, has that ever been done before in the backyard of Crusaders territory?
No, we were talking about that on Monday, just how hard it is to win down there, and it nearly took the Blues 20 years, and it was only a few years ago, to get their first win down in Christchurch. So to put on a scoreline like that, it was impressive, impressive.
No, totally outstanding. For the first 40 minutes, they controlled territory, possession, even the line-out was working well. And there's some of those players like Miracle, Willie Havili, Pellegrini, again, outstanding. Wow. You're a good spotter of talent, my friend, YC.
He says it runs in the family.
It started after me, the run of talent after me.
But you're certainly right. We talked about, they just got back to the way they know how to play really well, that getting around the corner, that directness, winning collisions, and it's just not it's just not full of bravado and just carrying the ball hard into brick walls. They got some good, they did that well, but the detail around that, they got really well. So great body height, you know, cleaning corners, the work on the ground in terms of recycling ball quickly was absolutely on point. I thought their clean out stuff, ruck, both in attack and defence was outstanding. And that laid the platform for the win, obviously, I thought.
Do you think this win, you know, changes the Moana season? Do you think, you know, builds their confidence and it becomes, you know, they're a genuine finals chance?
Yeah, well, it's a line in the sand moment, you know, where they put their flag, this is it, this is the performance, this is what we can do. We can't get, we only grow from this, we get better. Or this is the performance we want to see week in, week out. And that's what made the Crusaders so great over the years, was just that consistency in performance, week in, week out. That's what Super Rugby is about. The good teams, they perform on a weekly basis, and that's what they got to do.
And they've got the Waratahs this weekend. How do they, you know, in terms of preparation, going after a huge win like that, how do they then now prepare for the Waratahs this weekend?
Well, I mean, if you look at the Waratahs and the Crusaders tried to do this. I think the rolling maul, defending a rolling maul is an issue for the Moana. So the Waratahs are going to come there straight away. As soon as they win possession, they're going to look for the line and go straight to the maul. So Moana's got to shore that up. And even their line-out work after half-time got a little bit scrappy, I thought, Moana. But they held on, which was a great thing to see. Teams of the past probably would have faltered, but they've got to fix up their line-out defence. They've got to fix up their line-out. It's got to be more consistent. And they just got to get back to that physical battle every week, week in, week out. And I know they've got some great finishes on the edges, Moana, but if they can win territory and just get into that around the corner, repeat that ruck work, that ball carries, just being physical and winning collisions.
How important do you think someone like Pellegrini, just with his kicking game, winning that territory battle early on, how much does that help like nullify the opportunities for, say, like the Tars and say the Crusaders last week getting opportunities to have their line out? You know, say if they're winning that territory battle and they're playing down there, it's obviously a lot longer distance for teams to go and try and get their rolling more on. Like, how important has that role been for Pellegrini playing in the right pockets of the field?
Yeah, it's absolutely important. And if you want to avoid defending mauls, territory's massive. His kicking game's been awesome. That the first 10 minutes, that 50-22 that he kicked was great, and it's good to see him play well. But the good thing about Pellegrini, and I think one of the reasons we picked him for the Tongan squad, was he's got a really good balance between a running game and a kicking game, and that absolutely suits Moana. So he's got an option to do both. But, yeah, look, if you want to avoid mauls, win territory. It's simple as that.
I think that point you said around just he's got a good balance. He's got a good balance because he's got guys like Danny Tuala at 12. He's got other bodies around him that doesn't have to do it himself. Just organise, dish when you need to, and let the other bodies get on the front foot for you and then pick your moments to run, pass or kick. So I think Danny Tuala and the midfield have been outstanding for him to be able to help him with that selection. So hopefully he can do that again this week. Speaking of selections as well, Waratahs, Joseph Suaalii, what position do you think he is best suited to? Because it seems like they're tinkering with him playing 13, playing fullback. He's starting at fullback this week against Moana.
Yeah, you would think fullback would suit him a little bit, like you know, this was the Israel Folau conversation many years ago. You know, because it gives him a lot of space and time to fully utilise his talents. Look, I think you go back to that first game he played for the Wallabies. He was outstanding at outside centre. I still am yet undecided. I do like him at outside centre. And I think it for him to play well at outside centre, the forwards and the 5-8 have to play, have to be performing absolutely at their best. And I think that's where he's best suited. Fullback, he could always cover fullback, but I just think he needs to be closer to the advantage line to be fully utilise his offloads, his footwork, his build. That's my thoughts.
Well, yeah, I reckon that's a good point you bring up around the forwards. If they can't get him on the front foot, it's very hard for him to get himself involved. And when line speed comes at him, because you saw when the Waratahs last week were on the back foot, Sullivan, the outside centre, his opposite number, he was just getting line speed on him. You know, so you can't do anything like that when, you're not getting front foot ball. So we'll see how this one plays out. But what's your thoughts? Who's winning this one?
Look, I think Moana could win this one. Waratah depends what Waratah's team turns up, the one that played the Reds or the one that played the Brumbies. Look, they would be hurting after last week, so I think it's going to be a tight battle. But geez, Moana, if they perform anywhere near like they did last week, they'll get this one in the bag, I reckon.
And then in the other game, we've got the Fijian Drua just coming off the back of their bye last week, and seems like it's come at the right time. They're taking on the Crusaders. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, well, Crusaders, it goes. We talked about teams rotating their squad. Crusaders rotated their squad last week against Moana. You know, it was probably five or six usual starters that probably should have started that game. Is Rob Penny kicking himself? Probably, I'm not too sure, but he's made a host of changes for this game and brought back some regulars. So it's going to be a tough game for Drua, but I think at home, I think the Drua could win this one. They've had a bit of a refresh, reset, and for both teams, this is probably a line in the sand moment. They need to, if they want to talk about finals, they need to win this week.
It's probably the Drua's strongest team at the moment. I feel like this is the team that we've probably wanted to see consistently week in, week out. Tambuovo in the centres, Karawa Levu at fullback, Ikanevere starting at hooker. So Frank Lamani, Isaiah Armstrong, Ravula there, the decision makers. So I feel like, this is their team to get the job done. But we'll see how it plays out. What's the key again?
You don't sound too confident there, Sammy.
Oh,
I think look,
you're not wrong.
Are their best halves. I do like months coming off the bench. I think looking forward, Jacko would surely have to get some consistency around selection and maybe start playing the same team week in, week out. Because what are we, halfway mark now? There's only six or seven games left. So, I think they've got such a good big squad to pick from. But I think if you start playing the players regularly together, they just start building cohesion and combinations.
We'll see how we go. Well, if they're going to make a run to the finals, it has to start now because they've got, I think, five out of the next seven games will be at home. So we know what they can do there. They can certainly turn their season around, and it has to start against the Crusaders tomorrow. We'll shift over to the Super Rugby Women's Competition semi-finals. Let's get your thoughts here on a pick. Who are you going to go for here? You've got the Queensland Reds. They take on
the Drua
in Ballymore. And then we've got the Waratahs taking on the Western Force in Sydney. Who are you liking in these two games?
Yeah, it's much even competition this year, isn't it? The Drua, I think that, well, the Reds just beat the Drua last time. And the Reds are a totally different team compared to last year. Jeez, haven't they? Andrew Fraser's done
a great job. Yep.
Yeah.
And Eti Ahololele is there as well. Big Eti, he's doing their scrum stuff and their forward stuff as well.
Awesome. So. Look, I think Naihamu, I think she's injured. I think she's out this week. The centre pairing for the Drua, Naihamu and I forget the other one, but I think they're absolutely lethal. Look, it's going to be a close one. The Reds, I'll probably have to go for the Reds.
Of course, should. Yeah, you bleed red, mate. Of course, of course. But yeah, they're going to have to. I know Cordia comes in at.
At outside centre.
They're going to have to try and contain Shalom Saoso. So she's been massive for the Reds, and she's going to have a huge influence. So you go on the Reds in that one. Western Force have probably under delivered this year, and even though they're in the semis, but yeah, with the amount of stars that they've recruited, probably should have been finishing towards the top end. How do you see this one play out?
Yeah, look, I think the Tars are. I think the Tars will be too good for the Force. I think it could be a Tars Reds final next week.
It could be a really good grand final if it is those two. But we'll back our Fijian sisters over there and see if they can cause another upset and make another grand final. Because
it'll be a close game, I reckon. It'll be a close game.
Awesome work, big man. Always appreciate your time, mates. Go well this week. Got to win four in a row. Is that right? To avoid promotion relegation?
Yes. So four wins in a row. We could certainly do it. We've got a little bit of momentum now.
1 week at a time.
That's it. Don't look too far ahead. Just knock it off one week at a time, boys. Great advice. Anyway, Kev, we'll talk to you soon, bro.
See you, boys. Pleasure.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Knockout tipping time.
Each Friday on Nijan Footy, we finish our show with picking our knockout tipping comp.
Yep, and you can't choose them twice until it restarts itself. So. Yep.
So we pick one team from Rugby League and Rugby Union each weekend, and we can't pick them again. So this week, I was going to go the Moana, but I think I've talked myself out of it.
Nah, go them. I'm telling you. I've got to go.
I'll let you go first.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go the Force to get over the Highlanders. I'll go that one. I'll choose my old school team, the Force. But the thing is, the doubt, because the Highlanders, do they lose? I think this might be four in a row if they lose this one. And I don't think they've ever lost that. And they've all been against Aussie opposition too. So I can feel Jamie Joseph's presence from here, his aggression, because he doesn't like losing to Aussie teams. He says we're schoolboys.
So you're going Force.
I'm going Force.
All right, so you're going Force to beat the Highlanders. I'm going to go the Moana to beat the Tars.
Okay. All right.
I forgot to mention, the scores are 7-all now.
Ooh.
And the loser at the end of the year, for all our listeners, has to pay for a
jersey. Yeah, jersey. That's right. Any choice you want. Yep.
In rugby league, I will go the Broncos to beat... Or the Broncos playing.
Yes.
I did look earlier. The West Tigers.
Oh,
Broncos to beat the Tigers. Now, a couple of reasons. The Tigers are missing their skipper, Jerome Luai. And the Broncos, I reckon, with Payne Haas and the news this week, he'll want to go out there and put a huge performance out there just to give it back to everyone trying, like that attention. You know, when you've got all that attention brewing all week and you're just like, man, I'm not here to talk.
And there's only one way to quieten noise down.
Is to go out and take it out on the opposition.
Sorry, Tigers.
So
sorry,
unfortunately, Tigers, you're going to be coming in. Payne Haas is going to be coming in hot with all this energy to release. So I'm going with the Broncos to beat the Tigers.
I'm going the Penny Panthers. Surely they're not losing four in a row. So that's who I'm going. And we'll see how they go against the Cowboys.
They're going to be huge because Isaiah Yeo.
250 games,
all for the one club. You know, coming from Penrith myself, mate, what a legend.
Hurry up, the music's playing. They want us out of here to wrap up the show.
Well, that's us done for Nijan Footy Fridays. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcast.
Ka kite te boksio.
And we will see you on Monday.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.